race is a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Right now, the White House says it will appeal a trade court's decision that President Trump overstepped his authority on tariffs. Now, last night, there's a three-judge panel in Manhattan that found that Trump does not have the power to issue sweeping tariffs on almost every nation. Fox Business's Edward Lawrence, he's live at the White House for a reaction there. And the story now. Edward, hello to you. Good morning.
Hello, Bill. Yeah, this could upend the president's entire tariff policy. It pauses the use of a stick from tariffs when dealing with other countries. Now, here's what's in and what's out, what's suspended and what's not. In the Section 202 tariffs, they are not affected by this ruling. That's the tariffs on steel and aluminum, as well as autos. It does not affect Section 301 tariffs that went under review by the U.S. Trade Representative's office, like 100% tariffs on imported EV cars from China and tariffs on rubber gloves. It does pause the 10% baseline tariff, as well as all the reciprocal tariffs announced on April 2nd. The original case brought by a small business challenged only those reciprocal tariffs. White House officials say the ruling was so broad that it suspends the tariffs brought over the fentanyl emergency. That's 25% added to Canada and Mexico, as well as 20% on China. The bottom line, it's not a good mood inside the White House right now.
These activist judges are trying to slow down something right in the middle of really important negotiations. And the idea that the fentanyl crisis in America is not an emergency is so appalling to me that I'm sure that when we appeal, that this decision will be overturned.
A judge or three-person panel of judges can always be found, can't they? Do you know what the irony is here, folks? Do you realize Trump used the same authority to cut trade deals in his last administration, many of them with China, that the Democrats liked the revenue from them enough they left them all in place? Did you notice nobody sued? No judges reacted negatively. It's amazing, isn't it? You know what else is amazing? At the end there, that was Kevin Hassett speaking for the Trump administration. Do you realize 250,000 Americans are dead of fentanyl since 2017? Not an emergency? Do you realize, and this to me, I had this on a Battleground podcast last week, is one of the most shocking things. Do you realize that when Scott Bessent 2 weeks ago sat down with the Chinese to negotiate, they admitted they're deliberately sending the chemicals from the fentanyl to the U.S. and offered to stop as part of trade negotiations? In other words, right to his face, admitted they're killing us. They're doing it for kicks. And folks, don't tell yourself, oh, this is just some drug users. Man, they'd be dead anyway. They're bad people. No. Our own sheriff has found marijuana in the possession of teenagers laced with fentanyl. We've had police officers hurt or killed by it. We've had toddlers whose parents were staying at an Airbnb touch the side table and die from it. It's not funny. It's mass murder. I'll attach the article from the New York Post where the Chinese admit they're killing us with fentanyl and offer to stop in the sources section. That's how outrageous this has gotten. Folks, this is why we are at the point. And yesterday's podcast as well, where I explained China just unleashed another COVID variant. That's a bioweapon. But where I explained why, yes, we need to cut all 300,000 Chinese visas. We have got to cut this country off. This is on the heels of this New York Post article. Despite their denials, China is losing the tariffs war and retreating as fast as it can. We had the upper hand, but I swear America is never allowed to win. They will always swoop in and stop it. And you know why I think, by the way, the group that sued here, you know, it's all Democrat attorneys general. There's no Republicans involved. You know what I think? I think the Democrats know he's going to win. I think they know the economy is going to boom because of Trump. And I think they know Americans are going to want 4 more years of J.D. Vance or whoever, Rubio, because of it. And I think they're trying to kneecap America to get the upper hand. By the way, before this was stopped by the courts, do you realize that the United States was now collecting, the rate we were collecting it, $255 billion with a B in annualized revenue from Trump's tariffs? Most, not all, admittedly, but most of the cost of which was not passed on by sellers to customers because they're so afraid in these tight markets. Anyway, Team Trump is saying that they believe they can use other trade authority to try to stay in the game. But what's just really frustrating is, you know, if you're a foreign country, why would you negotiate or make a concession if the courts will just step in and shut it down? It's stupid. Do you have a weird feeling listening to, maybe you've seen some of the interview, Kash Patel, FBI Director Dan Bongino? Epstein? Nah, he killed, he totally killed himself. Yeah, no worries. Oh, that Epstein report, yeah, that we promised we'd have for you. That one, yeah. No, no, we'll get it to you. No, we're not going to rush, though. We're going to take our time. You can trust us.
The other thing on the internet is the Epstein files. What's the answer to that?
The answer to that is the same as everything else. I'm not going to withhold information from the American public ever. But I'm also not going to rush to get it out there in a format in which they can't rely on it. So on the Epstein matter or any other matters, we are diligently working on that. And it takes time to go through years of investigations, years of political maneuvering, and years of cover-up to get the American people what they deserve. And that's what I'm going to give them on everything.
Yeah.
Brett Baer doesn't sound convinced. Look, folks, the only reason people expect the Epstein files, which really is they want the Johns, they want the pedophiles, is because the Trump administration set up the expectation they would do it, promoted the heck out of it, and then gaslit us. Had all those influencers come to the White House and very publicly handed them the folders. It was just a bunch of stuff that had already been published. Not exactly confidence-inspiring, especially not when Kash Patel says, yeah, you know, we're going to take our time. But, you know, maybe there's more there than we know, and it takes time. But the problem is, folks, and look, this is just a personal assessment. You tell me. You know who sounds like he doesn't believe Kash Patel? Trump. Trump sounds like he doesn't believe Kash Patel. Remember, Congress requested 30,000 pages to be turned over on the Crooks assassination and the Ryan Ruth assassination. Crooks is dead. There's no reason we shouldn't have the whole file. Right now, open, know everything about it, but we don't. Neither does Congress. And the FBI took the unusual step before the Butler rally of helping to coordinate it themselves, but they've never turned over the paperwork from that. It makes people super suspicious. And Trump sure sounds like he's among them. Here's Brett Baer asking Trump about that. Do you buy what your FBI is telling you about your own assassination? Take a listen. Does it sound like Trump buys it? Remember, and this is in response to that interview with Fox News like 2 weeks ago when Bongino and Patel got uppity, got snippy, and insisted there's no there there. This is just a perfectly normal, natural assassination. No foreign connections, no Democrat connections, no deep state connections, nothing to see here. Does Trump buy that? From his own FBI director and deputy director? You tell me.
On assassination attempts, I did ask the president on the Middle East trip about this. Is there frustration on your part? Will we get transparency? Will we know the bottom line story?
It's very interesting because we have great people. I think Pam is incredible. I think Cash is incredible. I'm relying on my people to tell me what it is. You know, we have deep-seated craziness in this country. And I'm relying on my people. And so far, they're good, but so far they, and in this case it's Secret Service, they tell me it's fine. But it's a little hard to believe, to be honest with you.
Oh, good. I thought I was the only one. Yeah, I don't believe them. Now look, Patel and Bongino may be honest actors. In fact, I suspect they are. What I think is actually going on here is they don't have the power to actually get these answers yet out of the FBI. They haven't fully taken control of it. Something I said would be very difficult, if not impossible. Well, that clip that I just played for you was played for Kash Patel by Brett Baer. Kind of asks, what's up? The boss doesn't seem to have, you know, the utmost confidence. Here's FBI Director Kash Patel's answer.
You know, it sounds like he wants more about at least the Butler guy that we don't know a lot about. Will we know a lot more about him? Is there more to know?
I don't know that there's more to know, but you're going to know everything we know. And that's the other thing we did. We take assassination attempts, especially the president of the United States, extremely seriously. And we don't feel that the American people have been given the information they need on that. And we're digging through the files and we're getting them a more robust picture of what happened and whether or not there were any connections.
I get all that. And I also understand investigations underway and there's potential prosecutions for people who are living. But he's dead. Mm-hmm. And we knew a lot more about a lot of different people than we know about that guy. And you know, there's people that circulate all kinds of stuff, that it was an inside job or there was foreign influence or whatever. Can we say that it's not that?
And that's a great example of people looking for things where things don't exist. In that specific case, since that individual is dead, we are able to say a lot more, unlike the Merchant case in New York, which is ongoing, and whether or not there are any connections. We have definitively given that information over.
Director Patel, stand by if you would.
He says, hang on. Wait, no, you haven't. You haven't given it over. That's the problem. Listen closely to this beginning part again, though.
You know, it sounds like he wants more about at least the Butler guy that we don't know a lot about. Will we know a lot more about him? Is there more to know?
I don't know that there's more to know, but you're going to know everything we know. And that's the other thing we did. We take assassination attempts, especially the president of the United States, extremely seriously.
I don't know that there's more to know. I don't think they can get all this. And I think they don't want to admit it. I think they don't want to admit that they can't take control of this agency. I was never sure they could. I'd say coin toss. Whether they can physically take control. And in the last Trump term, we never managed to take control of the DOJ. We didn't, no matter who we sent in there. And I don't think they have control now. I think we haven't seen a lot of this stuff because they can't get it. They moved into the building. They put up the pictures of their family or girlfriend or whatever. They operate an actual office in the building. They can get into the building, but they can't make anyone do anything. Not really. Okay, moving on to another subject. This number just punches me in the gut. And this is why I'm so passionate about what the GOP is doing to us right now. Because I see it every day in my own home. My husband is a mortgage broker. And because most Americans are locked into low interest rate mortgages, they know the mortgage rate's higher. So they're not trying to buy a home. They haven't seen the decimation of the American housing market. And ultimately, the American dream of owning a home by both the Republicans and Democrats in Congress, like I have. In 2020, before COVID, the average age, average age of a home buyer, 37. In 1981, it was 31. Buying a home meant you were middle class. And being middle class was pretty common in America until the Republican Congress, and before that, the Democrat Congress, spent the American dream. They spent it. They stole it. They spent it. They printed it. If it had been a tax increase taking massive shares of your income or, 20, 30, 40%, people would have been rioting, pitchforks, tar in the streets. But by quietly printing it, they were able to steal it like a thief in the night. And you can see it in this. Do you know what the median age of all home buyers right now is? 56. It was 31 in 1981. As recently as 2023, it was 49. It was 37 before COVID. And I see this around my house all the time. I'm driving now with my 15-year-old who has a learner's permit, and there's a lot of developments that were started either before COVID, they got delayed, or they were starting during COVID. And they were started as, and I don't know if you've seen this around town, they were started as, you know, home buying opportunities, and they had to flip them to rental neighborhoods because that's how we're going to live now because Congress stole the American dream. And they're stealing it some more right now. Was it going to be 66 by the time this Republican Congress is done? Is that what it's going to be? If I sound bitter, I am. I'm mad. I'm angry because I've heard too many of those phone calls. And it always goes like this. People go and get an agent. They know what they can afford in terms of the actual price of the house. And they'll go find a house. They're very excited. And they want to get their loan now. My husband's very good rates. And they'll call up. And you can hear them deflate on the phone. I don't listen to the phone conversation. I just, you know how you can kind of hear it secondhand. It always goes the same way. What? No, I can't afford that. When they realize the price of a mortgage has doubled, It's sitting at 7% right now. And Republicans are going to ensure it stays that way. My kids will never own a home at 22 like I did. I bought my first house when I was 22. I flipped it. Owned rental property after that. Inconceivable. Can't be done. Republicans stole it and Democrats before them. That's when these people say, you're a rhino, shut up. Let us spend your children's money. That's what they mean. Don't talk about the theft of the American dream. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about us crushing it under our heel and grinding it in good. Don't talk about the most unbelievable conversation ever. Because I've been listening to my husband do this for on and off for 20 years as a mortgage broker. Same conversation every time. They come to a sick realization. I couldn't buy my home that I live in. I couldn't afford it. Yeah, now you're getting it. Now you're getting what they stole. And yeah, they stole it. That's what printing does. And I get angrier and angrier and angrier. And I know what this looks like. Looks like Europe. My first job, first real adult job, I got from a temp employment agency. It's a great place to go if you can't find a job. They sent me to a construction company and I worked as a secretary in the trailer managing the crews. So I started really paying attention. I mean, everywhere I would go, I would start to notice things like grading and construction equipment and what kind it was. And I could tell what work they were doing by what the equipment was. I just got to know it like you do when you work somewhere. Well, my cousins and I went on a really cool long road trip through Europe. This was back in the day. I mean, this is back, you know, when I was in my early 20s. And I started noticing, I was like, I haven't seen a single piece of grading equipment in two countries. There's just nothing to do. They're not building anything. They're not grading. There's no construction offices. There's no construction trailer. There's no equipment. They're not building everything, anything at all. Yeah, because their society was decaying. So we stayed with members, you know, kind of distant members of my family as much as we could to save money. And we stayed, you know, at other places as well. Just one of the members of our family, they were in their late 30s. They had kids, had a house. It was what we would consider run down and decrepit. They were incredibly proud of it because they owned it. And how did they own it? They could have never bought it. They told us that. No, they inherited it. It still had the 1980s wallpaper in it. They couldn't afford to upgrade it. That's the future. That's what Republicans are doing. You want your kids to have a house? Good, leave it to them. It's the only way they're gonna. The only people right now who can afford homes are those who were fortunate enough to have had a home before COVID. And I'm going to bottom line it for you. Before Trump and the Democrat Congress got drunk and spent us into oblivion, and then Joe Biden said, hey, I will loot the Treasury, turn America into a kleptocracy, pay off all my friends. The only people who can afford homes will be those with the mansions around D.C., rich men north of Richmond. Boy, in that trail. So I see this all the time. I have rage over it. It doesn't mean I'm criticizing Trump. It means I'm laying it out for you like it is. You want a good perspective on how much they've stolen? You go buy a house. Go see if you can. Just call. For kicks, go find out what a mortgage would cost in your current house. Again, the only people who can afford homes are those who own them before because they have equity. That's it. Otherwise, give it up. Yeah, forget it. Good luck. Start a home. Go see what that costs. And they want to do it again. And they want you to shut up. And I will not shut up. I will not shut up. You are stealing my children's future. It's not cool. It's not right. It's not hip. It's not neat. And I am sorry, but a $9 billion rescission, $9.4 billion rescission bill, I'm glad Trump's doing it. Don't get me wrong. Not enough. It's not enough. It's not even close to enough. And this is why Elon Musk has very, in a very classy and very polite way, thrown his hands in the air and walked away. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, look, I think the DOGE cuts need to be made. But as you pointed out, Laura, that's $9 billion against the backdrop of a $36 trillion national debt on track to become $60 trillion in 10 years with a $2 trillion deficit each year. It's like picking a barnacle off the back of a whale. We got to deal with the actual issue at some point. We're going to have the courage to take on independence from the federal entitlement state.
Yep.
That's what we actually need to be talking about. And I personally believe that everything else ends up being a distraction from the real topic of dealing with this national debt issue. Ask the question of how we're going to.
But there's good news. This got buried today, a huge and at the same time, bizarre victory that shows you where we are as a country. This is so absurd. A judge just ruled to allow DOGE which is still operating even without Elon Musk. They're still going to access sensitive U.S. Treasury Department payment systems controlling trillions of dollars in federal payments. Folks, it is ridiculous this was even a question. So listen to what the Democrats did here, not the Republicans. This is very telling as to who stole this. I'm sorry, did I say steal this money? You've got Doge, every one of whom is a federal employee who answers to Trump. Basically, think of them as a specialized engineering team, right? Like if you have tech guys who work for your business and help you when the computer goes down, like the help desk, that's who they are. Democrats say you're not allowed to have Doge. Why? Because they're good at what they do and they can find the fraud. That's why. Do you realize the Democrats all this time were in court still blocking Doge from accessing the full Treasury payment system? Until yesterday when we won. What are we going to find? What are we going to find? Now think about the outrageousness of this, okay? Not only do the Doge engineers work for Donald Trump, federal employees can't say, oh, well, they shouldn't have access. Yes, they should. They are federal employees, just like every other federal employee. Not only that, Scott Bessent, you know, the Treasury Secretary, who's responsible, you know, responsibility it is, all these payments, he ordered them in. They work for him too. The position of the Democrats in court was essentially, it's what it boils down to, they put it in legalese, we don't like Scott Bessent. We don't want you to know what we've been doing. So Scott Bessent does not get to access the payments he is in charge of. Let that sink in for a moment. Well, the absolute abject stupidity ended yesterday and they lost. We won. Doge gets full access, including to the what CBS calls sensitive Treasury payments part of the system. And you know what we're going to find? We just won a critical battle in the Democrats' war to stop the American taxpayers from being robbed blind and finding out how blind they've been robbed. And again, standing in the way of finding that out, Democrat judges. You tell me why. It's not Republicans suing to stop this stuff, which is what it means is they're not stealing. And that is what Doge founding member Antonio Garcia, who is a very successful multimillionaire CEO in his own right, who's put his whole life on hold to fix this. That is what he means when he says America was turning into a kleptocracy. Let me differentiate this for you. Okay, a kleptocracy is where a political class becomes essentially dictator-like and uses the power of the government to steal their constituents blind. That is totally different from your garden variety corruption, okay, where, you know, hey, I make sure my friends get the contracts. That's not that. That's not a kleptocracy. That goes on in all countries, always will. It's just human spirit. No, a kleptocracy is different. A kleptocracy is organized theft.
Sort of extraordinary what's happening. Elon said this publicly, right? Fraud, waste, and abuse. He thinks kind of 10% of the budget is probably fraud. I think it might be low. Actually, so you're talking about $650 billion, a trillion in waste. I think that's probably about right. But what's really serious about it, Jason, for me, and what scared me when this started, I thought we had a democracy that had turned into a bureaucracy. What I'm afraid of now is we have a bureaucracy that is about to turn into a kleptocracy. I mean, a Latin American style kleptocracy. Okay, yeah. The stuff you're talking about, that is pure fraud. And we're making some jokes out of it, the DIA musical. But if you go into the data that's coming out of the USAID, what you find is there's a lot of political contributions going on there. I mean, that is pure corruption. That's like a Latin American style autocracy. And we cannot let it go there. I think this happened just in the nick of time. 80 plus people there, all patriots, gone full time to make this happen. So I'm just so grateful. It's sort of extraordinary what's happening.
Yeah, we had one of those Doge members left Harvard to do this. God bless him. Now, let's take a little peek. Remember the hint at how large the theft from the American people might be. Remember the last segment, if you were listening to it. They stole the American dream. Literally, people cannot buy homes anymore because Congress stole the American dream with the printing press to pay what? They don't even know. I mean, what did this week start with? Mike Johnson, our useless speaker? Ha, we found 1.4 million illegal immigrants illegally taking Medicaid payments. Well, Mike, you paid them for 2 years, honey. Where you been? What are you doing? Nobody ever asks. Things I'd ask people. Anyway, just a hint. This is good news. I'm going to stay on the good news. This is just a hint from Scott Bessent under oath in a committee hearing a few weeks ago of how big the fraud might be.
What I can say at Treasury, that of the 1.5 billion payments we send out every year, they're required to have something called a TASS, a Treasury Account Symbol. We discovered that more than one-third of those payments did not have a TASS number. So as the Appropriations Committee, you should be shocked by that, because how can a payment be tracked back to an appropriation? Only through the TASS number. So there was no accountability. So that is why the 450 organizations that sit above Treasury, where Treasury acts as the paymaster, are unable to pass an audit.
Damn!
So we have cracked down on that. Every payment now requires a TASS number. Very simple.
And now, thanks to the ruling yesterday, they can finally access all the payments and be allowed to see them. Can you imagine that? Democrats' position. Well, only Democrats in good standing who've been bureaucrats for years can see the payments. Scott Bessent is allowed to. He's in charge of them. He's the Treasury Secretary.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.